There's no need to make your own elephant dung paper when you can order all of your office supplies at Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support amazing race podcasts like this when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, let your ears guide you to the wise man, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Sunday night Amazing Race wrap-up. I am Rob Cesternino, here with my Amazing Race partner, Jessica Lease. Jessica, how are you?
Dare I say amazing?
Oh, very good. I shouldn't say let your ears guide you to the wise man. Let your ears guide you to the man who has decided to spend, God knows how many hours a week talking about reality TV.
So let your ears guide you to the wise guy.
I guess so. Boy, it is Sunday night. Amazing Race. Non-elimination leg here in episode number 6. But we're going to break everything down from this leg of the race. Final 7 teams, all very much bunched up. So it was very tense throughout the whole show because you felt like with everybody that made a little bit of a move, anybody that had a difficulty, you felt like, oh, they're probably going to be out. But then it turns out that nobody ends up being out and all 7 teams move on to the next leg of the race. But we're going to talk about all of this and get Jessica's opinion and listen to your questions from Twitter as well. Jessica, how about that?
That all sounds like a really wonderful plan.
All right. And then Jessica, Monday night, of course, we'll have no exit interview on Monday, but then Monday night, Jessica and I will be live at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And Jessica, are the rumors true that one of my favorite teams are back on Rob Has a Podcast?
Indeed, the rumors are true.
Yes. And I believe this is our first ever repeat guest here on our Amazing Race podcast. Is that right?
Not entirely true. You had Ryan on twice, once with his race partner and once solo.
I guess I blocked that out of my mind.
Well, I don't blame you.
I must have forgotten that. Okay. Yeah. So, jiu-jitsu jurisprudence. How could I forget?
Yeah. I don't know how you could forget that.
All right. Well, Max and Katie are back to talk about all the teams from Amazing Race 22 that were on their season. And I would love to get their take on Jen and Caroline talking about how, boy, this is so much harder than Amazing Race 22 because the teams are so much better than the teams we raced against on Amazing Race 22.
Half the teams they're racing against are the same freaking teams.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I guess that's fair at this point that two of the remaining other 6 teams are also teams from Amazing Race 22. So what are you going to do? So we'll get Max and Katie's take on that. All right.
All right.
All right. So let's get into this. Now, first off, let's start at the end. And Jess, were you surprised to see a non-elimination leg here tonight?
Yeah, it seemed like it was pretty soon after the last non-elimination leg.
Because if we're going to get 3, and you have to imagine that we're going to get 1 at the final 4, right?
Yeah, we always seem to.
Or when it gets, so it'll be the week before the finale. And what week is the finale going to be on May 18th?
Yeah, the finale is going to be on May 18th this year, and I'm not sure we're getting a 2-hour finale. I think it might be only 1 hour this time.
Okay, so but you would imagine a non-elimination leg is going to be on May 11th. Is that fair to as we look at the calendar?
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's all going to depend on whether the finale starts with the finale is 2 hours or 1 hour. If the finale is 1 hour, they're going to go straight into final 3.
Okay,
so it'll be whatever is before the final 4.
So then are we projecting now the next 5 weeks in a row to all be elimination legs?
Well, that's always the hope.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's going to be, it works out better for me. I actually have a lot of podcasts coming up on Monday. So that's actually frees up my schedule a little bit. So while I am not normally thrilled about the non-elimination legs, that I did not mind it in this week.
Yeah. Well, plus you get 2 weeks off now because there is no Amazing Race next week.
Oh, this is news to me. I didn't know this.
Oh,
you know what? I did know this and I forgot it. You're right. So what is going on next week? There's no Amazing Race.
It's some kind of country music award show. So there may be some Jen and Caroline action there. I don't really know, but
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, so no Amazing Race next Sunday night, and then we'll be back. So then now I'm starting to feel like, do we have enough episodes left here? Because that would give us, then there'll be a show the 11th, the 18th, the 25th. I'm sorry, that's May. Yeah. So there'll still be a show the 13th, the 20th, 27th, 4th, 11th, and 18th. So that gives us 6 episodes left in the season and still have to do another non-elimination leg. So I guess that sounds about right.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
Okay, yeah. All of the CBS finales, typically Amazing Race ends the first week in May, and then Survivor ends the second weekend in May. But this year, Survivor, its finale is going to be on May the 21st, and then Amazing Race's finale is going to be on May 18th. So we're going to push into the third week of May for all of the reality TV finales on CBS.
That's going to be a busy week for you, Rob.
It's going to be a busy week. And not for anything, I'm also probably projecting Big Brother Canada is going to end that week as well.
Man.
And I have tickets to go see Billy Joel at the Hollywood Bowl on May 22nd.
Well, that's your reward for getting through everything else.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I think that's when I'm projecting the Big Brother Canada finale to be. So we'll see. We'll see how this all plays out. But let's talk about... So, a surprising non-elimination leg here today. And Jess, let me just say for the record, and I feel like we talk about this a lot, are the non-elimination legs planned in advance?
Yes, they are planned before anybody hits the course.
Okay, so it was not that they wanted to save Jen and Caroline.
No.
Okay, all right. But they should.
If they were going to engineer a leg to save somebody, I don't think it'd be them.
Okay, so... Let's pick it up here, and I guess let's start with the dramatic thing that was happening in the first half of the episode with Brendan and Rachel, and Rachel did not read the clue correctly, and so everybody had to grab a card, and then they had to then match up the card with the tuk-tuks that had the correct card in the window, and then start gassing them up. And Rachel grabbed a green card, which in her mind meant that she had to fill up all of the green tuk-tuks. And that was not actually what had to happen.
Yeah, I feel like if she'd thought about it for about 0.05 seconds, she'd realize that all the tuk-tuks were either red or green. And there were cards that were purple and blue and brown.
Yes. So I guess I have a couple of questions here. So... Going through, as this is happening, now eventually John is the one to say to Rachel what's going on here. Do you think that the other teams realized Rachel was doing the wrong thing beforehand?
Yeah, I think it was probably pretty clear to them pretty early on.
And so everybody else just decided not to say anything.
Yeah, I mean, just keep your eyes on your own work, get through the task yourself, and look, there's somebody behind you because they screwed up big time.
But don't we always talk about, like, you know, sportsmanship on The Amazing Race and how it's a good thing to, you know, make friends as you go along? Or is this just sort of like, if you see somebody doing something wrong and you just don't say anything, is that omission as bad as trying to trick them?
Well, I mean, look what happened to Brendan and Rachel just a couple of legs ago. They stopped to assist another team, and that other team ended up smoking them at the finish line.
Yeah.
I think you have to be nice to other people, but you also have to keep your eyes on your own race.
Okay. Now, did production purposely choose cars that had the same colors as the cards? Did production hope that somebody would make the same mistake that Rachel made?
I think it's always production's hope that somebody's going to screw up royally, but I think that's just the color the tuk-tuks are.
Yeah. I mean, out of all the colors, I mean, those are the only two colors you can get a tuk-tuk in?
Well, I guess in Sri Lanka, that's what color they have to be. Kind of like how in New York City, all the cabs have to be yellow.
Okay. So were you surprised at just how dangerous this challenge seemed?
Yeah, it seemed like someone was going to get run over at some point.
It seemed like there was a lot of places where people could have gotten hurt. One, you only had like two pumps here, so you could have had like any number of like mishaps happening with the racers fighting over the pumps. Plus, you had like tuk-tuks like driving in really fast. You had racers like getting in between the tuk-tuks, people getting sprayed with gasoline, all sorts of dangerous things in this detour. I'm sorry, roadblock.
Yeah, it was just about to break out into the gasoline fight from Zoolander.
Oh, no, that didn't end well.
No, it didn't.
Yeah. So ultimately, it ends up being Brendan and Rachel end up figuring out how it goes. Now, did you think it was, against the odds that out of all the green cars Rachel filled up, none of them had her green tag on it? Because ironically, the last one she did had the green tag, and it was a green car.
Yeah, I think by the law of averages, after you fill up a certain number of cars, you're going to end up with a green one.
So,
more often than not.
Yes. And are the green tuk-tuks anything like the green M&Ms?
I think I'm going to say that the green tuk-tuks probably have no effect on anybody's libido.
Well, is that why Rachel and Brendan are the green team?
You'd have to ask them.
That should be my first question.
I think it should.
Okay. So were you impressed with Dave and his pushiness in the challenge? I feel like we're seeing another side of Dave's evil Dave starting to come out.
Yeah, he's gotten really aggressive.
Yeah.
I'm very surprising. He's probably figuring that, he got the second chance to race and he shouldn't waste it.
Yeah. No more Mr. Nice Dave.
No kidding. I hope he's not like that at Tarkon.
Do you think there's a possibility of that?
Probably not. I think he'll downshift back into nice dad mode.
I hope
by the end of the race.
So everybody then had to make it to a train. Now, there's been so many train rides on this season. Are you digging all of the train rides?
Well, I like when a season presents us with a variety of travel. Like, I want to see them get around in ways other than just going to the airport and getting on a flight. So in that regard, I think it's okay, but they're going to come up to a point where it's too much.
Too many trains.
I think they're approaching critical train mass at this point.
Now, this is also the second episode in a row in Sri Lanka, which we also had two episodes in China, right? And then did we also have two episodes to start off? Or I'm sorry, we started in China. We had two episodes in China, right?
Yeah, and we had
then two in Malaysia.
Two in Malaysia, yeah.
And now two in Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
Are we noticing a pattern here?
I think we're noticing a giant flashing cheap sign.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I mean, they're cutting costs in a big way. Although I have heard that there were some extenuating circumstances that probably caused them to do like a last minute redirect of the race, which sometimes happens. So that might be some of it, but a lot of it is just them being cheap bastards.
What, do you know specifically what happened?
No, I don't think anybody does, actually.
But what could cause that? Like some sort of like logistics problem of like, oh yeah, that this fell through, so we just got to spread it out?
I think so. It could be weather. It could be political unrest. It could be a lot of things.
Okay.
I think maybe – I haven't really scoured the spoiler boards to find out what happened there, but I have heard that Malaysia might have been a last-minute substitute for some other leg.
Okay, so we end up having a detour here, and the detour is either trunk or sheets. And so, Jessica, I was thinking of you during the selection of the detour that the first five teams all said, hey, we need to go select trunk. But I know one of your rules in The Amazing Race is never select a task that involves an animal.
Yeah, but I got to say I might have gone with trunk as well because you have working with an elephant and elephants are awesome, or working with its poop. And poop is never awesome.
Except when you're the poop master, like Brendan was.
That's true. He was quite adept with the poop.
Now, Brendan, all season long on The Amazing Race, has gotten so many hashtags, seemingly at least four times this season. Brendan has said something, and it becomes a hashtag on the bottom of the screen, going back to World's Biggest Wedgie in the premiere. And even in this episode, that he got a hashtag, Read Your Clue, but somehow hashtag Poopmaster did not make the cut. How is that possible?
I don't know, man. I feel like Brendan is just a walking soundbite.
He is like a walking hashtag machine.
Yeah, you could hashtagify pretty much anything that man says.
Yeah. Brendan Viejas is the human hashtag.
Yeah, we could make human hashtag our hashtag for this podcast.
Yes, human hashtag equals Brendan. So I don't know why they didn't give it to him. Give the man his hashtag. If you're going to give him hashtag read your clue, give him hashtag poop master.
Yeah, I mean, read your clue could be a hashtag on any episode ever.
Yeah. Poop master is once in a lifetime.
Thankfully, poop master does not come up all that often.
Now, when they had to choose between trunk and sheets, did you think that the one about the making the paper from the elephant dung, which is called sheet, could that also be pronounced, if you were a fan of The Wire, as sheet?
I think that was probably what they were going for. I'm not sure specifically with The Wire, but yeah.
Yeah. Sheet. Okay.
Yeah.
Why is there something trunk or sheet? I mean, I feel like there's some sort of a connection there, and I don't know what the connection was between the words trunk and sheet.
Yeah, I can't figure one out either. I'm sure somebody's going to come at us with some obscure reference that they're going to assume we should have gotten, but I think it would, for now, I'm going to say it was just random words.
Okay. There you go. So the first five teams all end up wanting to go do the trunks. And this was something, a question that I was asked on Twitter earlier tonight that I want to make sure we get. They only let the first four teams work with the elephants. We also saw back during the Skybar task that they only let the four teams do the DJ task. Now, is this just a resources issue where there's only so many elephants, there's only so many DJ booths, and that's why? Or do you think that this is becoming a thing where they want to make sure both tasks get done, so they put a limit on how many people can be doing the one task so the other people have to go do the other task?
Well, I feel like it could be, again, another cost-cutting measure. If you only have to set up four elephants instead of seven elephants, you know, they save some elephant money.
Okay. And elephants are probably expensive.
Yeah, I would imagine. I don't know how much it costs to rent an elephant, but it's probably not very cheap.
So the whole task with the elephants carrying the logs. So can you explain to me what the rules were? So was it that you had to, each team had to like have the elephant carry one log and have a person carry the other log, or they had to get just six logs into the truck?
I'm going to say they probably had to have an elephant carry some and the people had to carry some.
Cause was there a minimum that the elephant had to carry?
There must have been, because otherwise they would have just picked up six really light logs and put them in the truck.
Yeah.
About the elephant?
I mean, I feel like the task should have just been, okay, the elephant has to get three logs into the truck. I felt like it really got muddied by you have to have six logs in the truck and the people can carry some.
Yeah, well, if you're just getting the elephant to do all the work for you, it's not a physically challenging detour.
Yeah, but some of the logs, like the log that Jessica was carrying, was not like a very heavy log. Like, so I don't even understand what the point was.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure about that either, to be honest.
And why did Dave and Connor have such a hard time trying to get their chain around their log? It seemed like that took them forever. Even Jen and Caroline were like, "Oh, okay, we got this."
Maybe they didn't watch the demonstration closely enough. They were still riding the high of elbowing everybody else out of the way at the roadblock.
I was getting nervous for Dave and Connor. I thought, like, oh my God, they're going to have a meltdown here on this.
I would guess that Dave and Connor are the very last team on this race who are going to have a meltdown.
Well, I got nervous. I got nervous about them.
No, I think their meltdown might be very different from meltdowns we're used to seeing.
Okay. So then we had in the She Challenge, then we saw Flight Time and Big Easy, and Flight Time just went right into the elephant dung like my buddy Jillian Larson used to do back in the day.
Yeah, he was all up in the doo-doo, as he was saying.
Before Jillian Larson was known for the reality rally, that was her claim to fame, was elephant dung.
Oh, believe me, I remember.
Yeah. Now, the recipe for elephant dung paper does not seem like an exact science to me.
No, probably not. I think you just mash up the dung and you mash up the paper and you make a paste and you flatten it out.
Yeah.
But it seemed like Jen and Caroline were having some trouble getting the right proportions. So I think it's probably not a totally exact science, but I feel like if you have more poop than paper or more paper than poop, it's not going to work.
Yeah. And we'll, I will not pursue that line of questioning any further. So then everybody was in, but unfortunately it looked like that was going to be the easier way to go. I was like, oh, sheet is way more easy than to go with working with the elephants. But then the bubbles popped up.
Yeah, it had to be, there was some skill involved with that one where I feel like you can just kind of brute force your way through the elephant task. You had to have some finesse with your poop.
Yes. Yes. And so Flight Time was trying to flirt with the poop paper checker.
Say that five times fast.
Yeah. It didn't really work though.
No, he's no Leo when it comes to flirting with task judges.
That's right. So they end up, everybody basically ends up figuring that out. And then really where it comes down to in the episode where a lot of the drama comes in the final 10 minutes or so was basically a hectic final tuk-tuk race.
Yeah, well, it looked like some people were in cars, actually.
Yeah. So it was really, there was like a couple rounds of this where we had the very funny rivalry here of cowboys and Indians, of the cowboys versus the Afghanimals. I have to say, I thought that was very clever.
Yeah, I guess that's, I'm not going to get too technical because that was actually pretty funny.
Yeah. And then you got to score this round for the Indians.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they came in first, so yeah, gotta hand it to them.
A couple of quick races to the mat in this episode.
Yeah, you knew the Afghanimals were going to come in first because the very first thing they said in the episode was, we haven't come in first yet. That's almost always means that team is going to come in first.
Yeah, well, good for them. They get their first race, their first time coming in first. They came in first on last season a couple times, right?
Yeah, they did, but I think it happened after they said, we haven't come in first yet.
Yeah. All right. So Afghanimals were one, Cowboys were two. And then John and Jessica and Dave and Connor get into another foot race. And I was actually surprised to see John and Jessica sort of blow past Dave and Connor.
Well, I would, if you're Dave, aren't you going to be a little careful with that leg?
Yeah, I would think so. And I felt like there was even a sequence where Flight Time and Big Easy were, you know, calling Dave out about his leg. I wonder just how much Dave's in his head about this leg.
I would guess he's probably, that might be the thing in the forefront of his mind all the time was, don't fuck up your leg, don't fuck up your leg. And it could be, okay, this is terrible, it could be his Achilles heel.
There you go. So now, were you surprised to see John and Jessica blow past Dave and Connor like that? Because, I mean, they don't know. I guess maybe they don't know if they're last or not, the last ones to arrive to the mat, and they don't want to come in last. But it kind of felt like, boy, that's probably going to piss off, annoy Dave and Connor that they did that.
Yeah, well, if you can only see one other team, you got to run it out like you're either first or last.
Okay.
Because you don't know.
And that's fine in Amazing Race handbook. Everybody's like the other teams, Dave and Connor, they accept that.
Yeah. And I feel like if you don't run out the leg, that's kind of lame too.
I guess so. I guess everybody like walks it in. I know, yeah. Jeff Probst, his head would explode if somebody did that.
Yeah. And I think Phil would just kind of raise his eyebrow disapprovingly.
Yes. And then Brenchel really kind of got lost in the last 10 minutes. I thought Brenchel was in last place. I was actually surprised when there was so much like it was. They kept showing the Globetrotters. They kept showing John and Jen and Caroline Globetrotters. And then Brenchel pulled up and they were in fifth. But I was worried that they were in last.
Yeah, it was like, hey, remember Brenchel?
Yeah.
They disappeared for 10 minutes and now they're here at the mat.
Yeah. Why would that happen?
I think it was just an opportunity to show like the other cab conflicts going on. Brenchel had a pretty straightforward trip to the mat.
Okay. What about Dave and Connor and the Globetrotters, that they're cab drivers were actually brothers and brothers in arms in this instance.
Yeah, you know, I feel like the Afghanimals Cowboys feud was interesting, but the Globetrotters Dave and Connor feud was more fun.
Yeah. So, and they end up, you know, one brother knows the right way to go and the other one didn't, and they wouldn't give him the directions. Dave and Connor are getting very cutthroat now.
Yeah, this is an aggressive side of them that we didn't see the last time.
Yeah, they want this bad.
I mean, who knows? They could have, it's possible they could have trucked it out their first time around, but we didn't get a chance to see that because of the Achilles tendon.
Storyline.
Yeah.
And then the show made it look like there was going to be a flight time in Big Easy. Jen and Caroline raced to the finish, but by the time that Jen and Caroline got to the mat, flight time in Big Easy were nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I mean, Phil said on Twitter that it was pretty close, but you have no idea of knowing, you have no way of knowing how close it really was.
Yeah. Okay, so your order finished this week: Afghanimals, Cowboys, John and Jessica, Dave and Connor, Brenchel, Flight Time of Big Easy, and Jen and Caroline. And as Jen and Caroline said, this race is so tough. They felt like they ran a good leg, and they felt like they didn't make any big mistakes, and they came in last.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of margin of error on this leg, so I don't think we can necessarily point to any one moment where Jen and Caroline screwed up and it cost them the leg, but
yeah. And so do you agree that everybody's racing at a very high level on this All-Star season?
Well, the course hasn't really thrilled me. There's been some tasks that seemed harder than usual, but on the whole, I don't think it's necessarily a much harder race than we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
And I don't think everybody's necessarily bringing their A game.
Okay. So you feel like that this is not the finest level of racing that you have ever seen.
No, but it's nice to see everybody's kind of stepping it up a little bit. I feel like we got four really strong teams out in front and three teams that have been surprising me consistently. So I think whatever happens next, it might be more exciting than we've seen.
Yeah, and other than the whole thing with Luke and Margie last week where they totally missed the flight, like I feel like these train rides, everybody keeps being on the same train, you know, everybody started from the same point with this detour in this episode, so it was hard for anybody to really fall too far out of it.
Yeah, it was all very task-focused.
Now, the Cowboys still have the Express Pass, right?
They sure do.
I feel like that has not been brought up on the show at all in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, I mean, they're the Cowboys. They're amazing at their tasks. I don't even know if that Express Pass is going to get used.
Now, handicap this for me. So do you feel like the Cowboys would be your number one contenders right now since they have the Express Pass?
Yeah, I'd put them at the top of the power rankings because they are really good racers and they have the Express Pass. And they're not without their faults, but they've been at the front of the pack the entire time.
Now, who'd be number two in your power rankings?
I'm going to put Dave and Connor at number two.
Not the Afghanimals?
Afghanimals at number three, but it's a close race.
Close race. Now, John and Jessica, this was their best finish ever in the race? Or I guess they came in first in the first leg, right?
Because they got the Express Pass.
Yeah, so what the hell are they talking about? This is the first time they ever beat Dave and Connor.
I don't even know. I guess they must meet on this race.
No, they said in our whole racing career, this is the first time we ever beat Dave and Connor.
Maybe John is blocking out the Express Pass and everything to do with it.
Yeah. All right. So, but this is their strongest finish of the race. Do you feel like they're starting to come on?
Yeah, I think they're kind of, they have the least amount of racing experience of anybody out here. And I think they are finally starting to figure out what gear they need to shift into to run a good race.
Going back to then the task where that you had to do that I mentioned in the opening, let your ears guide you to the wise man. Now, do you feel like that they would have done this exactly the same had Luke still been in the race?
Well, they got one set of working ears on that team. I'm sure it would have been slightly offensive, but I wouldn't put it past him to do that.
Yeah, what do you think Luke would have done when he got the clue that said, let your ears lead you to the wise man?
I think we would have seen him tweeting about it tonight.
Yeah. By the way, my conversation, my exit interview last week. So I interviewed Margie, and I thought Margie actually had some interesting insight about her time on the race, if you haven't checked that out. And then Luke wrote back some written answers to my questions as well, if you want to check that out on robiswebsite.com in the Amazing Race category. I would have been very annoyed if I was a racer and then I used to have to listen to that guy play the song on the recorder before I could get my clue.
Yeah, you could tell everybody was a little perplexed.
Like, okay, let's get on with it here.
Yeah, he probably wasn't taking requests either.
But why do they make you do that? Why do they make you sit there and listen to a guy play a song on the recorder that you don't have to do anything? You just have to sit there and listen to a guy play a song.
I think it's one of those moments where they want to take you out of the race and let you experience the local culture.
I guess so.
They always have one or two things like that.
You know, if the local culture is the same exact thing that was going on in my third grade music class, then I'm not that excited to see it.
I feel like the least he could have done is busted out a little Aqualung.
Sure, why not? Jess, did you have any other points about the episode, or did you want to jump into questions from Twitter?
Well, we got a lot of good questions. I think we need to leave a lot of room for that.
Okay. Let's jump into some of the questions from Twitter about the Amazing Race. On Sunday nights, we open up the forum. If you want to tweet me, I'm at Rob Sestrino. Jess is at Haymaker Hattie. And you can go ahead and fire away with your questions about Amazing Race All-Stars, episode number 6. Mandy Billings wants to know, what season did they start using the speed bump? Is that more difficult than taking everything away? So, Jess, how long has the speed bump been in existence for?
Speed bump made its first appearance in season 12. And prior to that, they'd tried a couple of different things. One of the things they used to do was they would take away everybody's money and luggage and leave them without any money in the next leg, which ended up being kind of uncomfortable, especially if they're in a country where the average income is much lower than, you know, your average Americans. Because then they had to beg people for money, and these people didn't have quite as much money. So I never liked that twist.
Yeah.
But the speed bump, I feel like it is exactly what it says on the can. It's a little bit of a hiccup in your race, but if you can get past it, you can make up time, and you don't have to be eliminated for certain in the next leg.
Yeah, like Brenchel with the silk screening, not that big a deal. Who had to just eat gelato? Was it the Beekman boys?
Beekman boys had to eat ice cream, and they did it wrong, so they had to eat extra ice cream, I think.
I would come in last on purpose if the speed bump was eat ice cream.
Yeah, no kidding. If they advertised that ahead of time, they'd probably have like a 7-way race for the last place.
Okay. Here's a question from Nuando E. She wants to know, John and Jessica are on fire. I call them underdogging into the final three, and then they win a la Uchenna and Joyce. Jess, is this how you see it? Are you seeing John and Jessica really turning on the afterburners here like Nuando does?
Well, I think it wouldn't be the first time that the most random returnee in a cast ended up winning the entire thing.
Yes.
I feel like that's happened in the past.
Okay. So do you think it's likely, though?
I think it's as likely as any other outcome. We have a lot of strong teams left, and I'm not prepared to say that someone is totally out of the running right now.
Well, we'll ask Max and Katie if they think that's going to be likely.
Yeah, I definitely want to know what Max and Katie think of this.
I love cheese 777 wants to know, at the gas fill up, were there likely more than 4 taxis per team, so no other team got credit for Rachel's error? Yeah, let's say hypothetically, Rachel fills up one of the Globetrotters tuk-tuks. Did they get credit for that, or just so it was like nobody gets anything?
Well, I wasn't sure about that. I thought that might have been why John was telling her what was actually going on there, because she might have been taking one of his tuk-tuks away.
Yeah.
So that's possibly what was going on there. But otherwise, it doesn't appear that Rachel was doing everybody else's roadblock for them effectively.
Okay. From Jason Perry at J Hovercraft, he wants to know, are there elephant labor laws in Sri Lanka? Do we need Danny to come and free the elephant slaves? Should Khaleesi free the elephants from Sri Lanka?
And then she'd also be known as the mother of elephants.
Mother of elephants. Yes. Well, as we know that a dragon is not a slave. Is an elephant a slave in Sri Lanka?
Well, elephants are highly intelligent animals.
Yeah.
They're one of the few animals that if you hold up a mirror to them, elephants know that it's them in the mirror and not another elephant.
Okay. And that's a big
mirror.
There's
only a few animals that can do that.
It's a big mirror. Yeah.
It has to be a big mirror.
Okay. So you think that the elephants are okay?
Yeah, I think the elephants are okay. They're not going to do anything they don't want to do.
Okay. Carol Anders wants to know, are you surprised that the annoying Rachel returns when it's her turn to handle a challenge? I'm not. That's Carol says I'm not.
Yeah. It's not the first task she's had to do. And I think it might just be fatigue catching up with her.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, what did she do that was so annoying?
I think she just got upset. And I knew that she wasn't going to go the entire race without getting upset, but it seemed like she had a handle on it by the time they got to the detour.
Yeah. I didn't think that she got annoying. If anything, she got flustered.
Yeah, and everybody gets flustered.
Yeah. And I didn't think Brendan was helping by saying, hey, babe, focus! Focus! Like what the heck do you think she's doing?
Yeah, I think maybe he would have been more helpful to yell out, read the clue.
Oh, Stephanie Crom wants to know, what's worse, Rachel freaking out or Brendan's useless words of encouragement like stay focused?
Exactly. I feel like Brendan is the much more annoying person this season.
No, he's getting all the hashtags. He's the poop master.
Yeah, but he's had the bigger freakouts.
All right, our buddy Matt Carter wants to know, is it possible that there was a U-turn this season that already happened but was edited out? Jess, is this possible?
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible. If nobody used the U-turn, it didn't have any effect on the game. They certainly could have just chosen not to show it.
Interesting. So do you think this is likely? Is Matt Carter onto something?
He might be. You know that on that's sometimes entire challenges don't get shown. Like, you know that from Survivor.
Yes, but that is very rare.
Yeah, and well, they have a disclaimer on the end of every game show that says, portions of the program not affecting the outcome may have been edited out. And yeah. I think sometimes that does happen. And I know that in the past that has happened.
Okay. So we think that this is because this is a long time that we've gone without a U-turn. So there was a U-turn and nobody U-turned anybody.
Yeah. I mean, with this bunch, that seems kind of fishy to me, but I feel like we should have seen one by now and we didn't.
Okay. Mike Bloom wants to know, does the country singers talk about the hard leg really show that Tar 22 was not as competitive? Well, you said this a lot during Tar 22, that any of the teams from Tar 21 would have smoked the teams from Tar 22. Now, do you feel like this helps you, even though the 20s were the first one out this season, does this back up what you were saying at the time?
Yeah, I think that race on the whole was a lot easier. But, you know, there's more than one team from their season in it, and they're all holding their own.
Okay. So Alex wants to know, what did you think of the Cowboys versus Indians cab race? Fair game? Did you think that was unfair at all, Jess?
No, I don't think it was unfair.
Okay. Our buddy Jeremiah Panhorst wants to know, does tonight's gas pumping roadblock fall into the top five craziest challenges in Amazing Race history?
Well, I think it depends on what your metric for crazy is. It was certainly chaotic, and I think there have been similarly chaotic challenges.
Okay. But top five.
Well, I'd have to go back and look at a lot of challenges to determine an official top five, but I think it's up there. It was definitely, it was chaotic and dangerous, and people got upset.
Evil Roy wants to know, did Dave and Connor feed the elephant? It looked like they loaded the last log and left. It did look like Dave and Connor went from they could not do anything, and then we cut back to them, and it was like, hey, Dave and Connor, six logs.
Yep. But again, it's one of those things. It didn't really affect the outcome of the race. They don't have to show everybody doing every single aspect of the task. Yep. I think if they had skipped an important part, they would have been told to go back and do it again.
But I felt like as a viewer, I felt like, boy, Dave and Connor are in trouble. I was like, oh, okay, they got it.
Yeah. I feel like that's happened a few times on this season.
Chris at Kieran F. Now, he says, I will never forgive John for telling Rachel she was doing the roadblock challenge incorrectly. Okay. So somebody wanted Rachel to go out on this leg.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the smartest thing John has ever done.
Well, you know what? It was karma for Megan and Joey that they got help and now they gave it to somebody else.
Yeah, I guess they're paying it forward.
Yeah. Okay. And Joel Hooper says that roadblock had me flashing back to the 1970s and the OPEC embargo. Oh no.
Yeah, that was what I thought it looked like too.
Yeah. All these people lined up for gas. This was like the stories I was hearing from people on Long Island after Superstorm Sandy.
Yeah, that definitely happened as well.
Yeah.
I feel like the OPEC embargo might be before our time.
A little bit. Okay. Well, anyway, so that's pretty much it on Amazing Race All-Stars episode number 6. Then on Monday night, of course, we'll be back with Max and Katie to ask them about all of the teams from Amazing Race 22. And I'm sure that, as always, they will be very opinionated.
That's always what I'm hoping.
That's always good. That's why they come back. That's why there are returnees.
Yeah, that's why they were number one with the bullet on people we wanted to see back on the show.
There are all-stars. Did you get any suggestions for names for Gary and Will, Jess?
None that I can repeat.
All right. So Jess and I will be back tomorrow night. Hope you guys can join us then. Subscribe to Rob Has a Podcast. RobHasAWebsite.com/iTunes or for the Amazing Race feed only, go to RobHasAWebsite.com/TAR podcast. And we always appreciate your comments and feedback on our iTunes channel as well. So we appreciate all those star ratings that you give us in the iTunes store. That helps more and more people find the podcast. All right. So Jess, then that'll do it until tomorrow night. Talk to Max and Katie. Should be a lot of fun. And anything else?
I think that's it for me.
All right. That's it. Have a great week, everybody. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.